Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Again, you see where the resource comes from. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's the statement about being like Jesus. How can we be like Jesus and not express the love that we see manifested in him, not just in his words and occasional actions, but in the ultimate action of laying down his life so we could have life? Wow. You want to know what love's about? All right. Then he says, what I think is a very crucial thing to us, because this is a place where Satan interferes. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Now, why is that? What's the deal with this fear thing? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is a crucial thing. If the devil can interrupt this dynamic of God loving me, then, you know, you've cut off the supply. But a fireman can hook up a hose to the hydrant. But if there's no water, if there's no supply of water coming into the hydrant, he's just going to stand there with a hose. And folks, if we are not actively living in the sense of God's love and the confidence that God loves us, that's pretty crippling. And I think a lot of folks are there more than they realize. You know, we have this idea when it comes to love and what we call love in an earthly sense of being lovable, capable of being loved, worthy, it would be the word, worthy of being loved. And how many people are there who in their life experience have had people that should have loved them that didn't? And what does the devil do with that? What he does with that is to tell them, it's your fault. There is something lacking in you, and that's the reason that you're not loved. If you were right, they would love you. Oh, what a damnable lie that is. Oh, may God deliver us until we realize that God's love for us is not contingent upon us being worthy of his love. Not one of us is worthy. I don't care what you do and how many wonderful things in the eyes of men you do, all these religious side of things. Oh, I tell you, it doesn't matter a bit. But oh, how many live under this problem of, I've got to measure up. I mean, you ask them about it, they say, oh no, I know better than that. But on the inside, there's still always something wrong with me, and therefore I'm just not so sure how he feels about me right now. And of course, in the first place, you're dealing with feelings, aren't you? That's a pretty deep pit to get into. And I'll tell you, if there is somebody here, silly question, silly statement, all of you here who know what I'm talking about, who have times when it's like the devil could easily say, how could God love somebody like you? You got to go and get that right so you can go out. Yes, that when we are aware of something that is wrong and needful, we absolutely need to bring it to the Lord. If anyone sins, what do? We come, we confess. We forsake, we bring it to him, and we find cleansing and mercy. Thank God. But do we have to somehow qualify ourselves for that? Where does my qualification for the kingdom of God come from? He's qualified me. Isn't that a picture of what love is really about? He qualified me for all of the benefits of the kingdom of God. Yes, I need to actively look to him and seek to grow, but I don't ever have to say, oh, if I could just be better at this, or if this happened, and always this sense of unease and uncertainty, as though if I don't measure up, God's looking to spank me. Well, God can discipline his children. But what's that expression of? His anger or his love? It's his love and his mercy. May God help us to get over what he's talking about here. God wants us to live with a sense, and it's not waiting for an emotion. It's knowing the reality that right here, right now, in all of my imperfection, God loves me. Look at how he demonstrated his love when Jesus was on earth. What qualifications did the woman at the well have? What qualifications did the woman taken in the act of adultery have? Of course, they ignored the man involved, but anyway. And you think of others that he met. The person he used as an example, the Good Samaritan. He was the one who actually acted appropriately. But over and over again, you see the love of God reaching right past all the religious people who thought they were so qualified for God's blessing by what they did. And he went right to the people that had the deepest need. I pray God will help me and help us to see past the outside of people. Some of the saints that God may be looking for may be out on a street corner somewhere. They may be caught in some sin that we wouldn't want any part of the sin. But yet God sees past that, and he sees a broken soul that Jesus died for. That's what qualifies anybody. And anybody that he can reach with that message of love, do we have the sense that he's inviting me? Yes, I have needs, but he loves me anyway. What an amazing thing. What an amazing example for us. We don't do that so well, do we? But may God help us. I believe he is, don't you? I'm so thankful for the degree of love that we have, that God has made manifest in our midst. I'm so thankful for it. It's very real, but you know where it comes from, doesn't it? Don't you? We can't take any credit. But anyway, perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. In other words, my relationship to God is rule-based, and if I don't keep the rules, I'm going to get punished. And that's how the dynamic works. No. He works in my heart to bring me to greater conformity to his image. But it's not about keeping rules. It's about learning how to express his life in all of earth's situations. And that's the work of a lifetime. And if you're still here and breathing, God isn't through with you yet. Therefore, there will still be things in you that don't really comport with what God is looking for. That's part of the process of God working in us. How many of you need that? Yeah, I sure do. So anyway, the one who fears, if you're living in that state of fear and uncertainty about whether God really loves you, that's one of the things I believe God wants to emphasize this morning. He does love you. He loves you in spite of you, in spite of everything that is wrong, in spite of things that you don't even know are wrong with yourself right now. And sooner or later, you're going to face them, and you're going to say, how could God have loved me? He knew about this. But that's how great the love of God is, and how far it surpasses everything we experience here. What an amazing thing. Now here it is, we love because he first loved us. Again, do you see where it comes from? You got a source that flows into us. That's what makes it even possible for us to begin to love and fulfill what Jesus gave as that commandment. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I suspect a lot of us have got a lot of repenting to do, don't we? And he has given us this commandment: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Boy, there's a lot in that. And I know you could take almost any of those verses and make a message out of it. But again, the first passage that would come to your mind when you start talking about the command of Jesus to love one another is certainly 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 occurs in a passage where Paul was dealing with what we call the gifts of the Spirit, that is, supernatural abilities that God gives to different members of the body of Christ, and through those abilities, we have the ability to serve one another in different ways. And some of the more, what's the word? Anyway, the things that get people's attention are things like speaking in tongues. You know, I have the ability to speak in a foreign language, and it's obviously supernatural. Or a prophetic word, or lay hands on somebody and have them instantly healed, or performing some other kind of miracle. Obviously, there are a lot more gifts than that. I'm trusting that this is one of his gifts. But anyway, God absolutely gives gifts to his people. But like I said earlier, God, you could have an awesome gift and learn how to use it and exercise it, and God could really be working through you, and it still not be what God is after. And that's why he comes to the end of chapter 12. And he tells them, the end of chapter 12, he says, he encourages them to, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, which is another way of saying, but, I will show you the most excellent way. And that's where he's going to get to the thing that is most important to God. I mean, it's wonderful if God can actually speak and act through a human vessel, and it can be God coming out of them and touching and helping somebody else. That's a great thing. But the reality is you can do all of that and not have this other. And in what does Paul say in the first three verses of chapter 13? If I speak in the tongues or the languages of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, just a bunch of noise. Okay? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom, I can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Think about somebody who could have enough faith to move Mount Everest. Now, would we not say, wow? But yet here's the Lord through Paul saying, the guy can move Mount Everest, but it's worth nothing in my economy if he doesn't have love.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.